And I know a lot of these, you know, owners and managers are, they want to donate or they want to give it away or they want to sell it. You know, and going out and talking to restaurants, I learned a lot that.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Local Podcast. Today we have Christina Reed. She's a good friend. She works at NASA. Can you imagine that? And then she has a very interesting app about helping restaurants don't throw away their food and helping nonprofit organizations get that food. So we'll talk about that today. So Christina, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. Happy to have you here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here and chat with you.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and then we'll talk about how you came up with the idea for Chibo.
Yeah. So hi, everyone. My name is Christina. I live in Maryland, right on the border of D.C. So right now I am working at NASA Goddard in Greenbelt, Maryland, and I'm also working on pursuing my master's in space engineering at Sapienza University in Rome, Italy.
Wow. Is that in Italian?
No, I think that would be a whole different level. So my program is in English.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a remote program, or are you going to Italy now and then to do something?
So my program started in person, and I was starting my second year when COVID hit.
Okay.
So it kind of forced me to come back home. And since I've been home, we've been remote for a year. And actually, I just got word that we're going back in person this coming up semester, which will be my thesis semester. So I'll be going back.
That's great. But are you going back to Rome?
Yes, going back to Rome for 6 months to finish my thesis.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so you came up with an idea to build a very unique app and help. I don't know, who are you trying to help? So tell us more about how you came up with Chibo Groups. Where did that idea came from?
So I have a friend. I was out in Zurich. We were just there for holiday. And so in their co-op, they have a whole bunch of different like baked goods, pizza. And I guess around noon, they throw away the stuff that they made from the morning and make fresh stuff to have out for the afternoon. But the food is perfectly good. So my friend and I were like, we'll buy it. Like, we don't mind. Like, it's not a problem. Like, that kind of just sparked the idea there of like realizing that a lot of places at the end of the night, the food that they just have a surplus amount of, they're either tossing it, but I do think there are a lot more restaurants that maybe give it to their employees. So I try to come up with a concept where it's a happy middle ground where, you know, they can give it back to the community. They can get, you know, money, additional, more money in their pocket, and they're really just reducing the amount of food that is being thrown away.
How much research have you done with the restaurants in terms of what they do with the food that they have?
So it really comes from kind of going out there and talking to them face to face or getting on a phone call with them in regards to their statistics and how much they throw out a night or a week that I'm a little bit unaware of right now. But it does seem like definitely our coffee shops, you know, they are the big ones that are throwing away most of their yummy croissants and danishes.
Yeah, I know for a fact because my sister had a friend or has a friend and they worked at Starbucks. And I think they got a bunch of food every day because the expiration date was today or tomorrow. And then they gave all this free food to their employees and actually a lot of food. So that probably happens a lot in a lot of restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty interesting. It's an interesting thing, you know, especially for these bigger companies where you know, after some years, you'll probably realize maybe we don't need 20 croissants, but yet, you know, it's production that still happens. So, mm-hmm. And I know a lot of these, you know, owners and managers are, they want to donate or they want to give it away or they want to sell it, you know, and going out and talking to restaurants, I learned a lot that these owners at the end of the night, maybe like an hour before they close anyways, they already are posting their foods at a discounted rate. They're selling their food at a discounted rate. So
in
like,
the restaurant.
In the restaurant. Okay. So you won't know unless you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now they have, so that kind of made me excited because now it's like, oh, now you're doing, if you're doing it anyways, now you have this platform where you can reach more people and let them know that, hey, come in and get some of our favorite food.
Right. Do you think, or do you know there's already a platform that does that? Because the restaurant industry is huge. So, I mean, you're very smart, but probably someone else has had that idea before. Do you have seen something related implemented already or not?
Yes, I have. And this is a touchy subject for me.
Okay.
But just because it's, you know, when you think of an idea, you're just like, oh, no one thought of this, but someone probably did. So there is another company. They actually originated in Europe as well. Oh, I didn't originate in Europe, but they started in Europe. I want to say 2014, but what really gets me is they did not come to the U.S. until 2020. So I was like, oh, like it could have been me who had this idea. But I mean, they seem great. I've done research on them and it seems like they have a really good team. But I think there are some pros with working with a smaller company, especially the area, the community I'm trying to reach out to, it's like close to home. It's where I'm from. So
right. So you're offering the restaurants the opportunity to sell the food at a discounted price rather than throwing it away or giving it away for free. So that's a very clear value for the restaurant. Then for the end user, for the client, you're giving them their favorite food at a better price, right? And then we have a third type of user, which is the nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. So how does that user type work in the app?
So I came up with the nonprofit user as well, just kind of through, that wasn't the original, I guess, approach or thought process of the app. First, I was just thinking business owner and user. Mm-hmm. And this actually came from talking to business owners where they were like, well, you know, if we want to reach different parts of the community, we would rather donate, you know. We have a solid community that can come in and, you know, they can come in on a day-to-day basis and get a croissant from Starbucks every day. But there are some people who don't have that resource, who don't have that opportunity, and we would much rather donate. So I came up with working with Low Code to build that into the app. So it adds a lot more work because, you know, now it's another group of people you have to get on board. But I think it's an important feature to have on the app as well.
Because right now, the only way you're monetizing the app is through those NPOs, right?
Well, so how I'm doing it right now is based off whatever the restaurant wants to do. So if they are interested in selling it, they can. But if they want to donate, which most of them do, then that's the option they have. So I have one client who is, you know, ready to go on the app, but they want to donate. So now it's getting these nonprofits on the app, letting them know that, hey, you can tag up with these restaurants and get some food from local businesses and hand out to families that you're working with.
Right now, how do these nonprofit organizations collect food? Do they work directly with certain restaurants, or is there like, an agency or someone who manages multiple restaurants and sends these NPOs to the restaurants or sends the food from the restaurants to the NPOs?
So actually another thing that I learned, which this is kind of my favorite thing about building this app or coming up with this concept, is just what people are doing already. So another thing that I learned is a few restaurants and coffee shops, they are working with maybe one nonprofit near them.
Right.
Where either they will go and they'll donate whatever they have left over, or they're working with an individual from that nonprofit and that individual will come in and pick up the food. Okay. So it's like everyone's already doing what the app is designed to do, but now they just have a platform where, you know, maybe they're going to, we'll use Starbucks, and that's the one place that they've been going. But maybe, hey, now Burger King is at their disposable or at their hand, so they can get burgers too.
There's a lot of value as well for the nonprofits, because maybe they're getting food from a place that's far away from their location. Exactly. Right, and now they'll see the restaurant next door in the platform, they'll be able to get food from there.
Exactly.
So right now, what are you doing to grow your user base? Because usually we usually have two types or three types of apps. Either, let's say, Uber is a bad example. I don't know. You have an app where you just want people using the app, right? So you don't need a two-sided marketplace. It's just like people using your app. Grammarly, for example, right? It's a software, and then they just onboard users and they sell to users. Then we have a more challenging type of app, which is a marketplace type of app, Uber, right? So you need drivers and people who want to go places. Tinder, like multiple people, right? So that there can be matches and all that. In your case, you have three types of users, which is even more challenging, because now you need, for the restaurant, they just care about nonprofits. They see nonprofits and users as one user type, right? Like consumers, either they're getting the food for free or paid. So how do you get users to your app?
So my approach to this, what I'm focusing on is kind of the big driver of it all is the restaurant, the business. So I have my Instagram page. I'm posting, tagging just random local businesses around me, blowing up their DM. My favorite thing to do is, like, if I'm just out studying and I'm getting a coffee, I'll ask them, like, oh, hey, quick question. Like, what do you guys do with this? So I want to build that relationship first. And I honestly believe, you know, once I have enough, a solid 1-2 restaurant that is consistently posting, and I'm focusing on the DC, Maryland, Virginia area where I'm from, getting people like the user to get on the app, I think will be smooth sailing from there. Cause a lot of people like discounted stuff. So letting them know that, oh, hey, you know, this cafe on 14th Street is now on my app, you know, check them out if you want to get your everyday croissant just at a discounted rate. And then from there, kind of, because the reason why I want to focus on the restaurant user hook is because when I come down to the nonprofits, you know, I'm charging them a monthly subscription. I don't want to start, you know, charging that monthly subscription if their options to choose from is minimal. I want to give them enough. So I want to give them, you know, a nice amount of options to choose from.
Okay. Do you plan to, so you're getting restaurants via Instagram, and how will you get end users? Do you plan to run ads or word of mouth or influencers?
That's a good question.
Figured out yet?
I haven't figured out yet, but I'm thinking, I've been thinking about ads. So just finding the time to.
Right.
To do that.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
So this app is built in Glide, right? Which, as probably everybody that listens to us knows, is this no code builder. How do you came up from an idea of building an app to finding these no code and low code tools to build your MVP?
Yeah. So I think back in 2020, my sister told me about, company that does something similar to what you do. And, you know, I was like, oh, let me try this. So, and, you know, I enjoyed it, but that's where I met you, through that previous company. Okay. And once I finished kind of getting all the information I got from them, I still didn't feel, I know my app wasn't where it needed to be. So I was working on, you know, developing it myself, and I would actually watch you on YouTube, but I'm like, okay, I need this to be robust. Like, I'm wasting time now. And it really wasn't until that my competitor, once they were in the US, I'm like, okay, trying to do it yourself is fun and cute, but can't waste time anymore.
Professional help. Yeah.
Yes. So I think from watching you on YouTube, you have your website there. And then I was like, oh, okay.
What do you think? So, I mean, you found about these other agency and then you came with us, but what's your opinion on these no-code and low-code tools? Did you ever quote the app, like using traditional development software?
So I've actually tried to like build an app using Xcode. And so I have previous software developing skills, like with Python and MATLAB, but it's more in a technical way. You know, just taking equations and applying it to a problem and producing a solution. So I was like, oh, well, if I can do that, this is a piece of cake. So it wasn't a piece of cake. So I was like, okay, so what are other ways to, you know, be able to build an app? So learning about these no code apps.
And do you think you have been limited in terms of whatever you, I mean, you had a vision and then now you have an app. Do you think these no-code tools have limited you somehow? I mean, obviously everybody says, I don't have in-app notifications, which is a fair point, but other than notifications, that actually your app we solve with text and WhatsApps and a bunch of other ways of getting in touch with people. Do you think, or have you felt any limitations with no-code tools?
Honestly, no, not for my app. Okay. And I think in even in general, I wasn't even really thinking of adding a hook that would, where the every time a restaurant would post that it would put a notification, like the work came from the person just going on the app and seeing what's available. So honestly, for my app, no.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So in your app, just to give our listeners or viewers a better idea, in your app we have, which is the first time that actually we did that, we set up WhatsApp messages for new orders, right? So when a new order is paid or something, we send a WhatsApp message to the restaurant's number, right? So they can configure their own WhatsApp number and they get a WhatsApp saying like someone bought something in the app, right?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah,
okay.
That's correct.
So you already had that idea. You had an Integromat account, which is this automation tool. How do you find that? I mean, how comfortable are you with automation tools? How else do you use automation in your life other than in your app?
Well, so I'm all about automation. Definitely in my career path, you know, working, granted, so if my background at NASA, it's dealing with multi-billion dollar spacecraft that runs off automation. So
okay.
I have 101% confidence in automation, and also just I also think that maybe just over time understanding that sometimes the automation might have a hiccup, but it's nothing that is really kind of detrimental to the overall flow. Yeah, nice. So. I also take each hiccup that comes from automation as, you know, a learning experience, because whether it's something that you might have missed, then that's an easy update that you can do. And that's a problem that, you know, you don't have to worry about again. And hey, like we all have software, we all have iPhones, we all have Macs. There are some times where maybe your Netflix just won't open that last like 2 seconds. If you try to open it again, it's going to open. So those like intermittent outages again, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, that's true. How do you think about new things? I don't know. Have you set up any Integromat scenarios, any automation for your personal life? How do you come up with ideas in terms of what, or even in your work, maybe, what do you want to, what can you automate?
So I haven't used Integromat in my personal life, but one thing that I do use sometimes is I have a script on my personal laptop where I'll just clean out old files that are older than from this year, 2 years back. And then, but so one thing that I, since I just built it for myself, one thing that I have to remember that I do is, you know, I might have a file that I always, that I want that I don't want, always putting it in, taking it outside of that folder where I run that script and making sure that it never gets deleted. And that's just, it's a nice, you know, organization script just to help keep me organized.
That's pretty cool. What else have you set up? Something like that.
Yeah, most of the, in my personal life, most of my scripts have been just in regards to organizing my files. In regards to work, just really creating scripts where, so I'll just give a high level. So,
yeah, it'll be
working with satellites on a day-to-day basis, you get a lot of data. And in the space industry, you have different groups that do different things. So all of the data that you're getting, it might not be pertinent to what, so I'm part of the flight dynamics team.
Okay.
So I, there might be data coming from the antenna starts to come to the ground, where that might not be important to a particular script that I'm working on. So it's being able to comb through large amount of data, pulling what I need, and then developing a script to create a solution.
Okay, so you are an absolute expert on automation. So this app, this little app is just play. It's just a playground for you.
No, I mean, honestly, going through it, and because I, you know, I've never used Integromat before, and just learning that, I thought that was super cool. And, you know, I know that level of automation exists, but then when you see the software yourself, you're like, oh, wow, this is so cool. Like, it's just, it's always a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah, because I mean, something that comes up very often with friends and family and clients is that when we talk about automation, they don't know. It's hard to convert that word into something that affects you, right? So we're like, people ask me, what do you do? And we're like, we automate businesses. And they're like, oh, okay. So moving on, right? Because it's hard for people to think, how can they use automation in their workflows in their business. So I always ask this question because it's interesting to see how people, we might be automating a bunch of things, even though we don't think about that. But the more you think about these repetitive tasks that you're doing every day or every week, you can start automating a lot of things. And actually, I spoke with some guy like months ago, and they said that they have a goal that every week they have to automate a task in their lives, either personal or work or something, right? And at the end of the year, you have 52 automations working for you, and you start saving a lot of time and not making mistakes or being able to do something else. And I thought that was pretty interesting. So I think like having that thing turn on in your mind, saying, okay, find something that you're doing every now and then write it down, and then eventually automate that, I think it's very powerful.
Honestly, I totally agree. And I think even from this experience, like even though I do so much automation in my work life on a major level, coming home and working on this, and the smallest thing, like email campaigns, I was like, I've never used it before creating Chivo groups. And I was like, wow. So I don't have to send 100 emails and change the name.
Okay.
So I thought that to me is the great. Yeah. And I think that it's the coolest thing. And because a lot of the code that I do in my everyday life is on Python and MATLAB. Right. So I don't have too much experience, you know, with HTML, C++. So when I see it working on the web browser and in your email, I think it's the coolest thing.
That's pretty cool. How did you came up with a name for the app, Chibo Groups?
So I don't know if I mentioned this, but I think I did. Yeah. So I'm getting my master's in Rome and I love the Italian culture. I love the food. I love the wine. I love the food. So food, Chibo means food in Italian. So I started with that word food and kind of see how I could do a spinoff. So I just put like food groups together because there's just a different list of food groups that you can find on the app. So I just combined my background in Rome with, you know, a word, two words that we all know and came up with the name.
That's cool. Now, what's the goal for your app? Is that something that, I mean, since you work in something completely unrelated to that industry, are you planning to keep the app as a side business? Do you want to grow it and it'll become your main business? What would be a good goal that you would set up for next year for Chibo for the app?
I love the work, like my career path. So I'm definitely thinking just a side business. And since I am, you know, a small startup company, where I would love to kind of navigate more to are all small, like restaurants and bakeries, and just really helping them reduce their food waste and, you know, increasing their revenue. So in the next 5 years, how I see Chibo Groups is, you know, if I could have all the small local businesses in DC, Virginia and Maryland, and just have them on the app, that would be great. And it's at a point where I'm relying on the automation where I can do my day-to-day work and don't need to be involved too much, you know, just there if there is an issue and, you know, users or businesses have feedback, have questions, have any issues. So that's the level I see it at.
That's pretty cool. That's great. So if people want to learn more about your company and your app, where can
they go? So my Instagram is chibo.group. Feel free to DM me with any questions. You can go on my Instagram. I also post, you know, fun tips and ideas on how to reduce your food waste. I recently just made a reel on how to make a carrot cake from your, you know, not so pretty carrots. Okay. So you can find a lot of fun things there. And then for the restaurant owners, you know, in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, if you're interested in downloading the app, you can go to chibogroups.app. You know, if you have any questions, like I would love to, you know, come in, set up a Zoom call, show you how to work it. I want it to be as smooth and easy as possible.
Great. Okay, so there you go. If you're a restaurant owner, get in touch with Christina. She'll explain you how satellites work, and she'll give you a great app and you can start using food. Christina, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed chatting with you. Thank you.